Tonight, as I share to you the Word of God, I'm going to tell you a lot about the ministry going on. Tonight, the message that I want you to tell you is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38, a very familiar passage for all of us. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for the laborers into his harvest. In this world, we are not going to live for a long time. The only life that is worth living is a life that lives for eternity. And that life is a life that actually invests for world mission. There are millions of people right now in the world, in my country. They are on their way to hell. And the sad thing is, they don't know it. They don't know that they are going. And they think that what they are doing is right. But they don't know, at the end, it is going to be dead. And for that, we really need to take seriously about the heart of Jesus. In this passage, I see the four things. First of all, I see the priority of Christ, that is mission. The priority of Christ is always mission. First of all, you can see that in his words. He said, I must work the work of the Father that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, well, no man can work. The night is coming, my friend. In heaven, we don't need to work. In heaven, we are not going to do mission only in this world. His word said it. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you know that the Great Commission. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know that. All these things, if you look at Jesus' words, really his priority is mission. And we can also see by his works. In verse 35, look at here. Jesus went about all the cities and villages and teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus Christ was doing everything he can to bring the gospel to people. Everything he can. That means Jesus Christ did seriously and he did it sacrificially. He sacrificed. Many times we don't want to sacrifice for mission, isn't it? He went to all places on foot, under the sun. It must be very hot, and he helped everybody. Jesus Christ was living for other people. He gave his best, and he did it seriously, sacrificially. 200 years ago, from here from America, a man by the name of Adoniram Judson came to a dark place, a dark country called Burma. Nobody heard of it. It's a Buddhist country. Nobody cared of it. He came there. He lost his wife, his kids. He was put into jail and prison. And he translated the Bible. He shared the gospel. But nobody got saved. You know, Adoniram Judson even tried to kill himself. He digged the ground and challenged God. Lord, if you don't do something, I'm going to kill myself. He digged the ground for himself. He was trying to bury himself. At that point, God speak to his heart. Adoniram just saying, you know, you are all about yourself. You think I am the first one who translated the Bible. I am the first one to come to Myanmar as a missionary. You think yourself, I, you need to kill that. In Galatians 2:20, not I but Christ. That's where Adoniram just realized that, okay, now I know it's not about me, it's about Christ. And on that 7 year, a man by the name of Uno got saved in our country, Buddhist country. And from Uno, many other people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, here I am speaking to you. It's amazing. Because of his sacrifice. Sometimes we need to sacrifice. before I came here, we went to mission field, the unreached area. In Myanmar, there are many unreached group. They are living in the jungle. They are living in the corner. Many people don't want to go there. They are very uncivilized. With my Soldiers of Christ group, we are going there and actually reach the gospel. But with right now, the political war going on, we went there and we stay in a small hostel, a house, and that night, the military, they came. I didn't know they came. I was there sitting down thinking about tomorrow, how are we going to, you know, talk to people. At that point, the military with gun, the military and the police together in that place, in the corner. No phone connection, I cannot contact my family. They came and then they said, come down. They chained us, they put us into the car. They kicked the door. They brought us to the forest. In my country, if soldiers bring you to the forest, you will never return. That's what is going on a lot. Inside the car, I was praying, Lord, do you want me to give my life here? If you want it, so be it. I have settled that long time ago. 2008, I have settled that with my friend. My life is yours. I don't belong. If you want, do it. But if you want to use me, I want to be used by you more. I was thinking about my wife and my, at that time we have two kids. I was praying, Lord, please take care of them. I was praying. We went to the forest. My friend here beside me, we were chained inside the military. He was singing gospel song. In Burmese song, no matter how troubles and the storm blow, I will still trust you. He was singing that song. That encouraged my heart. Okay, I'm about to be ready, Lord. At that point, they turned back from the forest and we went to prison. And they put us in prison. That means that night they will not kill us. We went to prison, chain in our hand. I went and I saw the prisoners and many ladies. These are murderers. We were with them. You know, I don't know what will happen at that point, but the Lord miraculously delivered us. One man came out of nowhere. He's a police chief, and he came and he talked to us, and they checked all our cell phone. They checked all our, you know, book and everything. And he talked to the soldier, and the soldier's leader said, okay, no more next time. We were delivered. When we prioritize mission, sometimes we need to sacrifice, my friend. And that sacrifice will never be in vain. Before the crown, there must be the cross. Before resurrection, there must be death, isn't it? We have to go further. I see here Jesus Christ, he was helping people, touching people. He went and crossed the Samaria. The Samaria were actually, they didn't like each other. But Jesus Christ has to cross Samaria because his priority was mission. Jesus Christ has to confront the religious leader because what they were doing is actually leading people to the wrong side. All of this because his priority was mission. I do believe with my whole heart, a church that prioritizes mission will never die. My church, small church, I will tell you. My people, they are working from morning 6 to evening 7 just to get $2. That's how our country is. But we are supporting missionary as much as we can. With a small money. I told them, yes, you have you work hard, I know that, but let's give for the Lord. Until now, our church is very small. They work hard. We don't have a lot of money, but we are on fire. Souls are saved. we need to prioritize mission. Victory Baptist Church, don't stop mission. Keep on supporting, keep on engaging. God will take care of you. I still remember when I read the Sword of the Lord about what John Arise said. John Arise, he has 6 daughters and his wife, and he prayed, "Lord, I'm going to do your work, and please take care of my family." We see here Jesus Christ prioritize mission. Secondly, I see the passionate heart for the lost. "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Dear friend, are we cold? Do we need fire? Mission conference should be a place of rekindle our fire for mission. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ looked at people, multitude with spiritual eyes. Jesus Christ has a vision for their eternity. He heard the need of their life. So he was moved with compassion. That is actually a passionate heart for the lost. My friend, brother David Lairamthang is right now serving the Lord in a very, very difficult place. In those places, they are bombing every day. They're shooting them. And he was in the jungle, in the forest, witnessing people, encouraging people. One family, the whole villages, the military surrounded them to kill. So they had to run to the forest. The mother was killed. The father and the little daughter, they ran. They were escaped, you know. They were not killed, so they ran to the jungle. But in the jungle, on the mountain, is cold and no food. It's very difficult. The child, the little girl, got sick. Unconscious. The father carried her. Nothing to feed. And the soldiers, they came. They're closer. So the father decides to kill her, his own daughter. Because if the military killed them, it will be so brutal. He killed his own daughter with tears. I called my brother Lairamthang, "David, David, will you please come down?" And he said, "No, I cannot come down. Right now, these souls, I need to reach them. I need to be with them." He has a passionate heart for the Lord, even in that dangerous place. You see, when you really look at, when you really open your spiritual eye and see the reality of sin and death and the deception of the devil, you will have compassion, my friend. You know why we lose compassion? The Bible said, because we love the world. Love not the world, neither the thing that is in the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, you cannot love what the Father loved. You cannot love souls. You cannot love missions. We are so occupied by worldly material things that it actually hinders our spiritual eye. We went to Minbu trip. Let me tell you, Minbu trip with my soldiers of Christ is a very uncivilized place. We walked the whole day. No food to eat. It was very, very tiring. And while we were walking on the road, we saw a very big mouse coming down. Mouse, you know that, right? Rat. When that rat come, you know, I saw that as Kentucky Fried Chicken. I didn't see that as a rat at that point. Also, my friend beside me, he was a very active person. He said, "Oh, that food, and then he ran and then he killed the rat. You know, that guy actually afraid rats so much, but at that point he was so, you know, bold. And then he killed the rat and then we barbecued it. And we sat down there, all of us, our eyes, we can't even look at each other, just the rat. And then we ate that rat and drank the water from the mountain. Sometime rat, maybe they come from God as well. We continue on, we arrive at a village, and that village was so strange. The ladies, the girls, they didn't wear anything. And the chief villagers, you know, they don't know us. When they look at us, they feel so strange. And we went there, we sit down, and I told my friends, other soldiers of Christ, people, you stay here, we go up to the mountain and we pray. We went up to the mountain to pray, but the more we go high, we realize that something is wrong. And eventually we found that they were doing animal sacrifice. So we went down, and then we stay with the second chief. You know, they have a like chief in their villages, like first chief, second chief. So the second chief house, we stay there. And he didn't tell us anything. That night when we sit down there, oh, many young people, they came. They sit in front of us, and we share to them the gospel, the plan of salvation from 9 p.m., 9 in the evening to 2 in the morning. They just couldn't get it. There was a language barrier in those places. But we try our best. And we sleep after 2 o'clock. Next morning, about when we wake up, the chief came and he said, "Would you please share to us about your God?" I said, "Why? You know what? The reason why we are doing this sacrifice and all this stuff is because every week, every day, every night time, the evil spirits, they would come and make a trouble. They kill our chicken, they kill our pigs, and all those things. So we are so afraid that we always need to do sacrifice. But last night, when you were here, they didn't come. When you have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, someone in us is greater than the world. They want that. We share to them the gospel. And from then on, in my heart, I realize that, oh, truly, truly, we need to have a passionate heart for the lost. I see here Jesus Christ, when he looked at the multitude, they were fainting. They had no shepherd. They didn't have someone to guide them. So Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. Burden. We are losing our burden, isn't it? This day. No burden for the loss in many churches today. We need to rekindle again. I see here, thirdly, then said he unto his disciple, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." I see here's the problem. The problem. First, we see the priority. Second, the passionate heart. And thirdly, the problem. Jesus Christ didn't say, "Oh, you know, there are too many people." Jesus Christ didn't say, you know, their heart is so stubborn. Jesus Christ didn't say, "Oh, money is a problem." Jesus Christ didn't say that. Jesus Christ, he said that the problem is missionary. The problem is laborers. There are no laborers. People are actually, there are people who are very ready to receive the gospel. We went to Bao Kong area. Bao Kong area in Myanmar is actually, they are very, very courageous and, you know, dangerous people. If they don't like you, they just get the knife and they just cut your head. Just before we went there, they did that. That's between the husband and wife. The husband cut the head of the wife because he got angry. So we went to that place. Sometimes those places, of course, you know, when we went there and people came and then they told us all those things like that. It was the pastor, the missionary who told me. And I was thinking, why you tell me? If you didn't tell me, I would have more courage. Now you tell me and, you know, what would I do? But We pray, and then we take the gospel track, and we went to those places. We look at the people. They are, you know, very different. At that point, we went to one house. There was the father and the son. The son was, he was 24 years old. And then we talked, and then he told me that, actually, are you a Christian? I said, yes. Oh, can you baptize me? He approached us like that. I was wondering why. And he said, because I want to be a Christian. Huh, why? He said, I am a soldier. And there was a war we had with, you know, other terrorists. There were two Christians in our camp. So we lost the war. And then our enemy already surrounded us. There was no way to escape. So that two soldiers, what they did was they just kneeled down and they pray. They pray and they pray. And I looked at them. I was with them. At that point, the thunder hit the tree. And the tree fell. And then the tree hid three of us. And the enemy, they didn't see us. At that point, I was thinking, all my other friends, they were also praying to their God. But they all died. But these Christians, they pray and God did something. So I believe that maybe your God is a true God, he said. At that point, I have to share to them the gospel. And I give him the gospel about Jesus Christ. He was listening and he got saved. Amen. The harvest truly is plenteous. But the laborers are few. Myanmar is a strong Buddhist nation. Yes, we know that. But there are people who are ready. There are people whose hearts are really, they want the truth. We went to Pakhange, you know. Pakhange is a very, very, very hot, hot place. It's 130 Fahrenheit. We stayed there with the missionary. And then that our friend missionary, I told him, let's go to the Buddhist village. Actually, he is in a Buddhist state, but we want to go around. And we went there, and everywhere was full of idols, Pakhange. And then we went there, and then we talked to, you know, the leader. And the leader asked us, what do you want? And we said, we want to tell them about eternity. And the leader said, okay, tonight we're going to make a stage for you. Well, that's so unique. They are going to make a stage for us in front of their pagodas. And so they make a stage for us in front of their pagodas. And that night, the monks, they really protested. They get angry, and they said, they are Christian. You don't know that. They will destroy our religion. But the leader said, no, I want them to say something. You know, before that, we have been praying a lot. So God was touching the leader. And we stood up, and then with all my friends, young people, we spoke. We preached. There were 400 people sitting on the sand, nighttime, 10 p.m. in the evening. And after we preached, we went down, we divided group, and I shared with them the gospel. And I asked this woman, there are many women and there are many old people. I said, if you die today, are you going to heaven? Are you sure? Because they were trying to go to heaven by good works, and all of them, they said, no. Because we have been killing chicken, you know, they are selling chicken and all these things, so they have to kill. We know from our heart that good works that we are doing is not enough. So I shared with them the plan of the gospel, the salvation, the gospel as much as I can. And this is what they said. Why you come only this time? We have never heard this in our life. That's what they said. That breaks my heart. And that night we asked them and they said, we believe. And the next morning they kick out. They kick us out from that village. When God is going to do a great thing, when God is doing great thing, the devil is also trying to hinder. But we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the problem is the laborers. Let me encourage you. American, I believe with my whole heart, is God's chosen nation for world mission. Whether you believe it or not, this is what I believe. Look at in the past. You sent missionary to Myanmar. Adoniram Jessen. Because of him, the gospel was introduced and he translated the Bible. You send missionary to India, William Carey. He, because of his life, many people got saved and Bible were translated. You send Hudson Taylor to China. I want to encourage you, continue on. Don't stop that zeal. Keep on. Because the problem is the labor. That's what Jesus said 2,000 years ago, it is still true today. Lastly, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. Here, Jesus Christ is requesting prayer. What was the prayer request? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest, I believe as I read the book of Acts, is the Holy Spirit. When you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to move, the Holy Spirit is going to move and send a new laborers. In the book of Acts, the church, they fasted and they pray and the Holy Spirit worked and he said, separate Barnabas and Saul for me. When the church pray, when the church is on their knee, the Holy Spirit is going to work and something will happen. As we read the book of Acts, you see that their only weapon is actually prayer. They pray and the power from heaven came down. And the preacher, they went out. And the unsaved people, they came in. It's prayer. This afternoon, we had a good time with Uncle Teruhi. And he said, I totally agree. He said, prayer is powerful. My friend, it is true. Prayer is powerful. And people who only pray experience that power. The reason why many times we don't experience the power is because we don't pray. We pray too little. Soldiers of Jesus Christ, young people, I called them. And when we were about to start that, the church that I am pastoring, what we did is we have a chair and we bring the chair. And then the whole night we touch the chair. We pray, Lord, please build your church here. Please, in these chairs, we want the lost people to sit down and become a Christian and praise you. We pray and we pray and we pray. After 3 years, now the church was established, planted. I pray to the Lord. We have right now, together with my dad, as we are working, we have more than 80 missionaries planting churches in different places in Myanmar. We have more than 65 churches. When I say churches, this is house churches, small churches, okay? And it's very difficult, actually, for us to support them. So I pray, Lord, please, we need you. Please help. At that point, Uncle Teru sent us, we want you to come to America and raise some support. And I was wondering, oh Lord, is this really your answer? Okay, if this is really you, what you want me to do, then I'm going to really, okay, go to the visa. At that point in Myanmar, we cannot have visa. So somehow, our brother Adam said, you try in Thailand or Singapore or in Vietnam. Okay, we thought Vietnam would be a cheap place, you know, food and all this stuff. So I went there, and that day, 70,000. And in front of me, everyone, good-looking people, I thought this guy will get it. Everybody, they were rejected. And here I am, 5 foot, you know, a small guy. I'm not even good-looking. So I went there, and then he looked at me, I looked at him, and he asked me, what do you do? I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. And he said, okay. Do you have your passport? And I gave my passport. And he said, okay, go. Will you steal my passport? No, actually, he gave me a permit. It was so easy. And then I was scratching my head, looking around. Sometimes it's hard to believe when God is doing a miracle, isn't it? And then at that point in my heart, I knew that, oh, I remember. I pray. And the Lord answered it. I came back with joy. Right now, what we need to do is we need to pray for laborers. If you pray, God is surely going to send more laborers into the harvest. Tonight, these four things, let us remember in our life. The priority is mission, the passionate heart for the Lord, the problem of laborers, and the prayer is needed. May the Lord bless you all. Pastor.